What's good, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck. And unfortunately, no has today, which means we'll be getting right into the episode. But before we get into it, just want to shout out real quick. I mean, all the bonus content we do of Patreon, of course, if you guys want to support the podcast, it's the best way to support. This week, we are doing a bonus topic about stages. We had a Patreon ask questions. You can always ask us questions on the Patreon for there's like different tiers and stuff. So yeah, we got a question about stage picks for competition. Gavin's going to go ahead and answer that. And me and Pink are also going to give our insights on just like stages and counter picking in general. Obviously there's a ton of scenarios and different stages have different purpose. So there's a lot of depth in there. So that's what the bonus content will be for this week. And also great announcement, Tweak actually started uploading the bonus Patreon content onto YouTube. So if you are interested and you're watching this on YouTube, you can go ahead and become a member to start getting the bonus content that we post on Patreon. So we just want it to be as accessible as possible. In the comments below, if you guys also want that content to be for subscribers on, Spotify or Apple, let us know in the comments. We can also try and work on that as well. We just want the bonus content to be as accessible as possible for you guys because we know that's something that you guys enjoy. But Gavin, you entered a tournament last weekend. How'd that go?
It went pretty poorly.
Roundtable, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's been really nice to have a monthly thing in the area. Shouts to Noodle. I've been going down with him. DK and Diddy Kong Main driving down to the regional every month is pretty funny. He actually had a close set with Light. It was actually
how do Donkey Kong.
It was game three last stock.
That's so crazy.
It was game three last stock, I think. I think Light was also at like 60. So it was close. It was close.
Prime robbery percents.
Yeah. Even lower would be robbery percent, to be honest. But yeah, I beat Light in winners 3-1 and then got smoked by Syrup 3-0 and then kind of got smoked by Light and losers, but it was game five. Yeah, it was rough. I'm working on it. I'm studying. Tournaments like that kind of suck because I feel a little lost, but I'll get there probably. I have another tournament coming up. I'll be leaving on Thursday. You guys will be seeing this on Wednesday, of course. To the Miami event. So I'll have more sets to experiment with, see what's going on. Yeah, I'm trying not to dwell on it too much. Trading sets with Light isn't that bad, but I just it kind of feels weird to get all the way to winners finals and then get smoked and then lose to someone you beat because it feels like you didn't get as far as you thought you were, if that makes sense. You kind of go from like in a good position, like beating Light, haven't done that in a bit, to like fizzling out at third is like such a jump scare. I did win the previous couple events for Roundtable, so it's okay. And I usually trade sets with Syrup, but I only had one chance to play him that time. And then Light traded sets with him, which was impressive. But I'm sure he isn't too happy with that either. I know he went to the event because he wanted a shot at like beating Syrup. He did take a set. But yeah, it was tough, man. It was tough. Yeah, there were some things I just know I didn't do very well, especially watching it. Like just some very key basics. Like I got to stop letting some of those scenarios slip through my fingers, to be honest. But we'll see.
It's hard, man. This is actually a question I had for you because it's something you harped on at Genesis. But just what do you feel like is harder in a sense? Because you've experienced multiple Smash games as a top player, so you've played through different metas, right? And in a game like Smash 4, there was a bunch of different meta characters, obviously, but it's not as balanced as Ultimate because things like Jump Squat, there's a bunch of things that weren't universalized. So I feel like in older Smash games, you could just, against more than half the cast, I would estimate that you could kind of do your top tier game plan, be a top tier character and you just win, right? And then there's the other matchups that have more depth to them. But in Ultimate, man, it's just crazy to me. Like, what do you feel like is harder, where it's like less matchups, but they're, each of those matchups are more in depth? Obviously, like, if a direct comparison would be Melee, right? Where there's just way less matchups, but then they go, the depth in each of those matchups have had, you know, over decade of metagame, right? Whereas in Ultimate, I feel like you're kind of stretched more thin, and you, even at a tournament like Genesis, you're kind of ping-ponging around, playing a bunch of different matchups, playing a bunch of different play styles. And especially, it's got to be draining if you play a toolbox character, right? Where you kind of just have this vast amount of options to be able to conquer every matchup, or at least like make matchups, certain matchups, maybe not so unwinnable. But yeah, I'm just curious which you feel is more difficult, just more like the Ultimate meta you experience or the Smash 4 meta you experience? And I'd love to hear your intake too, Pink.
I think it's way harder for me to win in Ultimate, just because I think your refresh rate is like tested way more. I think.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, Smash 4 was a much slower game for people that didn't know. Like, you could play out of shield, and dropping shield was really strong. Yeah.
I think in Smash 4, if you're losing to a situation where something is too fast for you to handle, or you're like getting surprised, it's because you're doing something wrong, and it's like, you can just make adjustments, and then like you can play in a way where nothing will catch you off guard, and you will always be in a scenario you understand. In Ultimate, your refresh rate is tested way more, and you are going to be put in spots where you will be lagging behind and you will get zero to death or something. And like, it's like the relief I feel when I win a big tournament in Ultimate is like way more intense than like winning a Smash 4 event, because things can just go your way the whole time in Smash 4 if you're really, 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 really good and you're playing one of the best characters. You can play in a way where, like, they just can't. or at least that's what I tried to do. In Ultimate, at least with in my current scenario, when I'm playing, like, a lot can go wrong very, very easily. And you can't just like make simple adjustments that slow down the game. You can't do it. You have to keep up with the game. You can't slow it down. And that's way harder than being able to slow it down, I think.
Plus Ultimate's just more competitive too. I think there's like the floor of Ultimate players is much higher than the floor of Smash 4 players, if that makes sense, just because a lot more people played Ultimate. You know what I mean? So,
bro, you ever go
and,
back?
Like, you just look at the Switch compared to the Wii U, but yeah.
You ever go back and like look at a Smash 4 video and be like, dude, we sucked? It's like kind of crazy. Like, the game is much different, but like, I feel like Smash knowledge has just like evolved so much, and the approach to the game has changed so drastically that you can just go back and be like, dude, we used to think this way. Like, that, like, I have that thought a lot of times. Like, wow, we used to.
Bro, I'm like one of those, like, you know how everyone's always saying that like an old school basketball player was like playing versus plumber?
Yeah.
I'm low-key the plumber, bro. Like,
yeah.
I'm like the plumber everyone used to idolize. Like, yo, he's OD. He's so good. But then, like, the modern era comes around, and I'm just a plumber. Like, I'm not actually that nice.
That joint hurts, bro. I just
Are you a plumber too, bro?
I'm definitely. Oh yeah, I definitely was a plumber, and I wasn't even. I was like Jordan. I was like a. Oh, that was like a second, third option or something.
Dang, man. If you guys plumber. Are plumbers, I'm the janitor, bro.
Tweak isn't that good. He was playing versus plumbers, bro.
You were playing against me? Yeah, like, what the heck?
A fellow plumber. Hello, fellow plumber.
Holy shit. Yeah. Ultimate is hard. And it, yeah. You just... You're really fighting the game so much. You're fighting the game. Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you think, Pink, as someone who's competed in both?
Well, the thing is, like, in one game, it's interesting for Gavin's perspective, especially because he played Bayonetta. And this game, he hasn't played, like, Sonic or Steve.
Right, so, like, the OPs, you know?
Yeah, so it's, like, as far as, like, how much you have to adjust your game plan and how often you have to do it. I feel like with Bayonetta and Smash 4, there was like maybe four matchups, maybe where you really had to like lock in and be like, okay, I can't do these certain things. But like in alt, I don't know. Like I play Min, obviously, and there's a lot more characters, but like percentage wise, it's probably the same amount of adjustments I have to make as when I played Bayonetta. Like the character's stupid and she kind of just plays herself. And if she beats a character, she simply just wins. Where like you said earlier, like Gavin plays like a toolbox character. So Charles is probably better explaining it, but basically you have a bunch of different tools and all those tools you can pull out at any point for whatever scenario that the tool requires, right? So if like you need to go into super neutral mode or whatever, you pull out your banana, you start there, you shield in, whatever, but then you decide like I want to be aggressive and you pull out your banana, but then the mix is you start doing like Z-drop aerials or whatever, like down tilt and all that stuff. So you have a bunch of different tools that you can use at any point, and it makes the character much stronger, but you have to like be in tune with the game plan, like really in tune. And characters like Min Min or Steve or Game & Watch, like very rarely are you changing your game plan. You're just going to do the stuff that's strong, and it's just either going to work or it's not going to work. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. It's working. Most of the time, it's going to work. So I, from my experience, it's kind of the same. But I also haven't gotten to the level that Gavin's really gotten in either of the games. So I don't know. It's kind of tough to like say. Like, I think the higher you get, the more the game reveals itself to you. And it's just, it's really difficult to like say, but at least for where I was as a player, like it, I could just play Min Min and it will work, or I just play Bayo and it will work. And if I got to somebody that I couldn't beat, which was very often, the actual good players, they would just cook me and I'd be like, all right, cool. That was tough. Like they were very good. Like
I think I have an eye for things and you just wouldn't believe me for some reason.
What are you talking about?
Like, I have an eye when people are, like, very different players. But something I had a hard time with, or something I had a good time with in Ultimate, was I felt so much, like, faster and ahead of people when the game first came out. And so here's something I want to admit. I actually think my adaptation skills are rather poor. But I think what I'm really good at is my initial game plan. And if my initial game plan is good enough, I feel like a lot of the time, I got reverse 3-0'd by Leo a million times, so like that could be an exception. But I think a lot of the time, if I start out like in the set and I'm like winning, they're probably cooked. You know what I mean? But if I'm like losing the first game, or like losing the first couple games, or if it's like 1-1, 2-1 in their favor, like I'm not as good at adapting as like some of my peers, I don't think. But I think if I'm like ahead of you in some way, then like I just won't let you catch up, kind of thing. So when Ultimate first came out, I was just like winning hella tournaments, taking advantage of that. And then it felt like I was faster at the beginning and then slower. And then I just had to put in a lot of work ahead of time to like put up the facade that I was still ahead of everyone, I guess.
Well, to be fair, Gavin, the game did change a good amount. I mean, obviously, every time a character gets added or fighter passes, patches, your characters got nerfed because, like, I mean, you any character that you or Leo was using, or even, like, Void got Pichu nerfed, right? There is a bunch of things that happened early on where it's like, okay, your characters got nerfed, new characters got added that were very powerful. Obviously, Joker going to be the most impactful one of at least first year of Ultimate, right? And then the game, like, the characters that got added into the game, pretty much all of them were like really, really high impact, except all the cool ones, right? Like Banjo, Sephiroth, but everyone else, really, really good. So I don't know. I think you should also give yourself some credit for being able to keep the results you have, and you're playing an extremely different game from, you know, week one, day one, year one of Ultimate. But because the game has changed quite a bit.
Yeah, I think it's hard to put my like process or like my game plan into words. But I think my goal is I try to play like my idea of like what the game should look like in the future in the present, so I can like be ahead of someone and it either works well or it doesn't, because I just don't know.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know if I'm as good at adapting as other people. I don't want to say I can't adapt or something like that. I'm sure I'm capable, but yeah, I try to stay as far ahead as I can when I'm like in practice and going into an event, rather than like adapting when I'm there. I try to have everything considered before I sit down to play that first round. You know what I mean? Like, I try to have everything ready to go. And I feel like that's why, like, a lot of my big tournament wins, I feel like, are just smooth runs. Like, just like, I don't drop to loser's bracket or something. Like, if I think of Summit, like, I had like a long time to prepare like my version of the game. And that was like the first really big tournament back from COVID, and it like benefited. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, there wasn't that many games dropped in the final bracket. Like, once I reach a certain point, it's like 3-0, 3-1, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if I like struggle from the beginning, like, it's clear that I'm not as prepared as I wanted to be. Yeah, just something to think about, I think, for myself. Just trying to verbalize my thoughts and like how I practice and view the game. But yeah, I think my goal is to like try to prepare in a way that's very far ahead and unexpected and hard to play against, and hope it works when I go to a bracket.
Mm-hmm. I think it matches up with how, I mean, you've been opening up a lot recently, I'd say, in like the past year, in terms of just general thoughts about the game. I think, you know, when we started the podcast, we had a lot more specific discussions about just interactions within the game or maybe the meta. I think in the last year, we've been kind of opening you up in terms of how you think about Smash in general, which is really cool. And it makes sense because you always want to be ahead of the meta. And it makes sense now why it's kind of like lining up, right? Because that's where you feel comfortable. Like, yeah. If anyone that watches the show plays any TCGs or anything like that, it would be the equivalent of going to a tournament and your deck's already teched out for the meta. Like, that's, yeah. Gavin wants to be teched out for the meta. He wants to be super prepared, and yeah, it all kind of lines up. And
I just don't trust myself like beating it unless I've already considered what's going to happen. Like, when I played Paris at the regional, a lot of the things I prepared for worked, and I think I won 3-1, but it was starting to get pretty dicey. And then but he just played so fast that it was just like too much pressure for me to like continue with the game plan. And I'm sure that's like Light / Fox's goal anyways, but yeah, it felt like the more pressure he put on me, the more I was like scared to, I was starting to like rely on like older strategies I've used versus Light, and it just wasn't working. Same thing when I play Syrup. If it starts really well, Syrup and I have had so many sets where like I just win 3-0 or he just wins 3-0, like more than once for like each of us. And by the time I've lost the first game or two, I'm just like playing to not lose. And like Steve is just going to mine up and get powerful. Like, because I'm just too scared at that point, because I just don't have a game plan anymore. But if the game plan works for the first game or two, I'm chilling. I'm not scared at all. But towards the end, like, I'm sorry. I got that shield up, bro. I got the banana. Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Rolls start coming in. I'm like, oh, gosh, please.
Cross up roll with banana. I'm coming in. Cross up roll. Press the button,
please. They start rolling from ledge. I'm like, bro, no.
Oh, true.
No.
That's my classic for like 10 years now. Shit.
It's crazy though, because I feel like, I mean, I haven't done this in a while, but I was like talking to you about the matchup and I watched the VOD. I mean, I used to coach, but I don't really do it anymore. But you know, I was like, sure, I'll watch a Steve Diddy Kong match in 2025 and see what's up. But man, it's getting to the point where I feel like players, like, obviously initially people didn't really play the Steve matchup right. It's a very different character, to be fair. So like, of course, give the player base some slack, because this is a character that literally fucking spawns terrain in midair. So, you know, there might be some complications, right? And I think it's getting to the point where, like, yes, people are very aware you don't want to get reversed by Minecart, or Anvil was like the core of it, and then everything built from there. But it's kind of even getting to the point, obviously, I'm not going to like tell whatever we went over, because, you know, that's confidential information, but just it's getting to the point where it's like, oh, well, what resource and this, like it's getting to the point where it's even very resource management too, which is like, I guess, kind of obvious with Steve, but I feel like the counterplay to the resource management is starting to build up, if that makes sense. I think more and more top players are starting to become more aware, because you also have to go through the motions and have the experience too. Like you can't just look at Steve on paper and be like, okay, this is the game plan, go. And this guy's like throwing out moves that are really, really fast, positive on shield sometimes. Like the character still puts you in very messed up scenarios, right? And you still like mastering the way your character navigates through blocks and stuff. It's very hard to, you know, learn on the spot.
Bro, I think the like biggest change I've noticed with the Steve players is they are actually getting obscenely good at getting out the corner. Before, like, it used to be so easy. It's like, all right, bro, here comes that mine cart. But now, like, they slowly inch way out. They're just up tilt jab. I'm like, God, like, you can't even pressure them in the corner because you can't jump in on them. So it's like you have to play ground to ground, and it's. I guess they've just realized that, like, wait, I don't have to buy a card out the quarter. Like, I can just walk forward and just abuse my very fast, strong buttons that lead into death. Like, when I watch now, I'm like, huh, this used to be where they were really weak, and now I don't really see that many openings. Like, you just really have to make it count every single time you
they might retreat to the ledge and do like the mine with the invincibility, like free grabs and stuff. Like, yeah,
they take their time.
It's patient. It's really important to take your time with any character in the corner and on the ledge. Like, you got to make your opponent work for it, bro.
And that character is
he can make you work for it,
king. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it's so rough because you start like waiting for that inch out, and then they're just like, okay, yeah, minecart, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, and you just, boom.
I think it's up to the player base against Steve to try to find new ways of like getting them to panic, because the more we play, the less panic they're feeling as they get more comfortable. And I think it's up to the people playing against Steve to see what they can do to get them to like reintroduce those like bad habits that used to exist or something. Snake and Slash Hurt's another player I think of that like just he makes you work so hard for it that it's just not even reasonable.
This is another topic I want to bring up.
It's important. Like Snake is very capable of just making you work so hard for it, and then like the second you press like a lazy button, you trade with the grenade and
dash attack. Goodness,
yeah. Like, that down tilt is nasty, bro.
Dude, I hate down tilts that you do the down tilt and your character in the down tilt lag is still crouching. So, like, Sheik, Diddy, Snake. Snake is, like, crazy because his crouch is, like, so, so good. But another topic I actually wanted to talk about was, so earlier, Gavin, you said that in Ultimate, you have to, there's not a lot of options to slow the pace down, right? Like, you have to play Ultimate. Sure. But I actually feel like the characters that are really, really strong and powerful actually get to not play Ultimate.
Yeah.
Like, they, so, that, and that's why they're strong. So they're like, okay, instead of playing Ultimate, you are now playing Grenade Simulator, or you are now playing Minecraft, or you are now playing Upbeat Simulator / like Free Advantage State Simulator, which is like Up Air and Nutribee with Game & Watch, right? Like, To me, there are clear-cut characters in the game that I just feel like they're strong, because it's like, if you're fighting someone and they have to play Ultimate throughout a bracket, and it's like, okay, they're playing Ultimate, and the whole time, you're always, like, you're just always playing your game, right? And, I mean, there are some characters that can make Steve uncomfortable and stuff like that, but, yeah, I mean, like, I would say someone like Snake or Sonic, you are generally playing the same game plan / like neutral loop, but you just have to play it really well, right? And it those characters to me are so powerful, because if you're the toolbox player, it's like, shit, okay, I'm playing ultimate against this character, okay, I'm kind of playing Ultimate, it's a little weird, but this one is Olimar or Rosa, and then, oh shit, okay, I'm kind of playing Ultimate, but then there's these weird things that interact with like my character specific tools. Oh shit, now you got to play against Pac-Man, or now you got to play against Steve or Snake. It's like you are in demand to play so many different games within a tournament run that is an Ultimate, which is just, to me, that's crazy. But it's I guess it gets interesting when it's two characters that don't play ultimate fight each other, and it's like, oh shit, like who has to adhere to whose game, right? And even when you look at Snake versus Steve, it's kind of Steve that has to adhere to Snake's game, right? In terms of game plans and stuff like that, because it just beats it out. So that's where it gets interesting, and that's where I get the question of, like, with all the characters that don't play ultimate, who doesn't have to play ultimate the most? Like, who always gets to essentially do their game plan? I kind of think Snake, but I don't. Like, I mean, there's Game & Watch, right? Game & Watch does it to Snake. It might be like a whole triangle thing. I have no idea. But so it's just an interesting topic in terms, because I just wanted to harp on it because you were talking about changing the pace in Ultimate, and I think there are certain characters that have like this pass that are allowed to do it in unique ways. Yeah, that's another one.
Cole loves Rob.
I love the Cola tweets, dude.
When did I pick up Diddy Kong? Is it like 5 years ago at this point?
Probably. I think around
this. So my initial idea was that item characters naturally defeated a lot of the inconsistencies of Ultimate. Because back then, when the game was a little fresher, one of the problems for people was low lag, shield grab being weak, dash grab being weak, spot dodge canceling, making things really tricky to consistently beat. And I was
making
your
dash grab even worse, by the way. Yeah. And they made dash grab laggier, and then they have frame advantage on spot dodge. So you're not getting grabbed. You're getting up smashed for missing this dash grab. Like, holy fuck, dude.
So my theory was like, I'm going to play a character that not only doesn't have to be there in those moments, but will also punish them and kill you for it, or potentially kill you for it. And I landed on Diddy Kong because I've obviously always liked Diddy Kong, and I've played him before and like vaguely in other games and all that stuff. And I just thought items were really valuable. Because I can punish everything while not even being there, or I can just position myself around it and not even waste my resources. And it worked. It still works to this day. But obviously some characters just like kind of like overlap it and like just they'll just beat you. It's like it's almost like they win the numbers game every time, and they don't have to have a specific strategy to defeat Ultimate itself. Like, they just kind of outright win it. Like, being plus on shield can kind of just defeat everything, or like having your advantage state like super streamlined and consistent can kind of defeat that, or just having a consistent disadvantage state, like all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I still really, really, really value like Peach, Diddy Kong, Sheik, Mega Man, did I say Snake, Rob, like that kind of stuff.
I think those are implied.
Yeah. Sonic, I've always thought really highly of, because you can choose whether you want to take the risk of beating those things, because they can be very, like, it can be very small windows, like spot dodge canceling, low lag, shield scrappy scenarios. So if you're confident, you can choose to win in those spots, or you can just not deal with it and win in other ways. But a lot of characters, if they're not strong enough, they take more risk because they rely on, like, they can't just choose whether they want to like deal with that scenario or not. They're just in the mix no matter what. Like, they have to play ultimate. And I really like Diddy Kong because he's like a perfect balance of like a lot of those things. I can like, oh, I'm this person's like going crazy, like low lag. They're throwing out a bunch of stuff. They're spot dodge canceling. I can choose whether I want to hit them for it, or whether I want to pull banana, or if I just want to disengage and position somewhere that's more threatening. And I collect a lot more data, and I will just eventually win, and they can kind of just lose to themselves. I don't even have to do that much if I really don't want to. But then there's obviously the problems where they care even less than me, like Snake or Steve or something like that, where it's like, oh snap, like there's a wall up in front of us, so I have to play ultimate more than they do, or something like that, or like the grenade's gonna block something, or a character recovers high a lot, so like when I'm in advantage, I don't really get any value, like things like that. But I still think my philosophy is pretty accurate, and like having an item is just so valuable because you just don't have to be in dangerous spots as often, and then like you can do crazy stuff with some of these items. Like Peach literally kills you immediately.
Peach Rob.
And then they're just good characters before that. They're not good characters because of it. So like same thing with Diddy Kong. He's a good character and then he's doing a million damage with Banana, but he's also going to be better than you even if he doesn't throw it at you. So it's like just holding it is so threatening too. So that's that's my version of like, all right, I'm going to play like almost like Smash 4, but it's going to be even better than playing Ultimate against Ultimate. So I think that's what's given me a lot of success. But there's some spots where like the strategy just doesn't apply. And I've worked hard to like, I sometimes can win anyways. I have a lot of work put into everything. But yeah, I've probably explained this once or twice before, but that's a little bit more in depth, like why I even play the way I play / play the characters I play. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, you do be camping, but yeah, man, like
just banana camp.
Yeah, just pull banana. It's yeah. I don't know. Alt is in a really strange state because if you look at like the most recent winners of events, it's normally like Steve, Snake, Cloud, because yeah. Spargo, and that's really it. You won something. I don't think Sonic's won anything last year. But like as far as like super 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 big events, I think it's usually one of those characters where I guess Zomba won Genesis last year. So Rob, it is one of those characters where like they're just not really playing the game. Or maybe that is playing the game and like everybody else just can't do it.
Yeah, it's like, and also Cloud technically is doing the things we're talking about. He's just slightly outside of the range that's dangerous. So that's the true. Other characters are completely disconnected. Cloud is just always slightly disconnected. So it's a little less consistent. But this is connected to my rant about sword characters. They technically get close to playing Ultimate. You know what I mean? Cloud?
Like, or you mean Cloud warping Ultimate? Air, we're talking about warping Ultimate, right?
Yes. Cloud's back air is defeating Ultimate. It's beating spot dodge. It's beating shield.
And forward air.
Like, that is beating everything at once, technically. But you're still slightly outside of Ultimate, like, range. Whereas, like, Snake doesn't even get fucking close to Ultimate.
Yeah, Snake is like all the way down the block, bro. He's not even
his arms are fucking intangible or something when he does. So like, you know what I mean? So it's valuable, but I think there's a world where eventually you would prefer to just go all the way and just not even be close. You know what I mean? Like being slightly disjointed all the time will only take you so far against everything else, I think. But that's just a theory. Like you can still win. Like the strategy is efficient. It's simple. It can be overwhelming. Fighting like someone like Spargo or Light is very, like, they take the breath out of you. Like you can't play. So like, I get it, but it's weird. Cause it's technically kind of like playing Steve or Snake in terms of like the goal and like the strength. But it's just not as like intense and it doesn't look like it's the same thing. I don't know. I think, you know, Diddy, Sheik, Cloud are like, they might be closer to each other than they are to like someone like Snake, Steve, Sonic. Cause like there's ranges where they might have to play a little bit of like a inconsistent game, but their goal is to be like Steve or Snake if they execute it properly.
Right. And to the way I think about it too, and to be fair, the characters you play also warp the game in some way, shape, or form, right? I think
they're like the original attempt of doing it. Yeah.
Right, right. And I mean, even when we look back on Brawl, like first seeing Wario waft, and even just like more items, right? Because there was items in Melee, but it was mainly one character that used them. Yeah. And then we got way more characters that pulled their own item in Brawl, right? And that was like, oh God, holy shit, this is crazy. And then it kind of like scaled from there. And then we got things like, oh, Bayonetta's like the Marvel character. That's the way she warps the game. She hits you once and it's over, right? Like you just lose. And I mean, I think the level of how much it warps away from Smash has gone up over time. Obviously, some people like that, some people don't. If you're younger and you're a fan of Steve, like obviously you probably don't, which is completely cool, obviously. And I like, to me, I love Smash, and I want Smash to be as big as ever. Like, it's my favorite game. Like, I just want a lot of people to play it. And you know, obviously, times change; things can't always stay the same, right? So it is something that, as anyone gets older, they just have to accept change, right?
No.
I refuse. But yeah, like, because like even items, right? Diddy Kong Banana specifically warps the game in a sense where it's like, oh, you have a sword, but it's an item, but I can't swing at it because it's intangible.
An actual sword character throwing their sword at you.
You always say that. You've been saying that for years.
It's such a hilarious idea. Like, imagine you're getting camped as like Link and you're just like, I'm sick of this shit. And like, you just kill them. But yeah, that is what
they do that in Brawl.
The best part about it is it warps the game before it's on the screen. When someone's playing against Diddy Kong and they actually have to like deal with him, they have to deal with Banana before it's even on the screen. They're going to run up to Diddy Kong because they don't want him to pull it. If they don't run up to Diddy Kong, he pulls it. So like, and like, you know what I mean? It's like a weird push and pull scenario all the time. And that's what makes fighting the character, I mean, I guess I can't speak for people, but playing as the character, it's what makes him interesting, is how much it warps the game. Even if you're not throwing it and you're holding on to it, everything they do is to avoid it. And then when you're not having it in your hand, everything they do is to stop you from pulling it. Or they might just have to take the L and kind of accept it. It's always changing. Same thing. Like, I've always played this way. Like, when I played Wario, there's plenty of games versus really good players where like I would win without waft just because they spend the whole game worried about waft. And I just like finding, whether it's blatant or not, like whether the win condition is blatant or not, finding that win condition and punishing them for being aware of it is a really good strategy. Because people are definitely afraid. Like, Wario Walk is very stupid, and they're going to be afraid of it. And you can try to beat them. Just, you don't have to do it to them to win. Like, same thing with DK Grab in Smash 4. They constantly get hit by all those aerials because they don't want a shield, bro. Limit Cloud in Smash 4. You don't got to use it. Just use it when they neutral get up off ledge. Then you can use it.
Okay, I'm back. I've been sitting here for a little bit thinking about the whole term playing the game. Bro, I've been sitting here. Okay, because I started going back. I was like, dude, in Brawl, because we used to say this about, or some people used to say this about Meta Knight, and it was, Meta Knight is actually playing Brawl. Nobody else is. Like,
yeah,
everybody else is trying to play Brawl. Meta Knight is playing Brawl.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
And I started thinking, I was like, okay, well, what about Melee? Like, there's a few characters in that game. Like, people, I mean, Fox is Fox, you know, Falco, Jigglypuff. Like, and I was like, what about, like, Samus? Decent character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But are they playing Melee? Absolutely not. No, she's what? She's struggling. She's trying her best, but she ain't playing no Melee, bro. She's shooting one missile and, hey, I'm running. It's like, I like what, like, so I came with this like thought of, because you know how people always be like, man, this character's so gimmicky, like they're just trying to get their gimmicks off so they can cheese you in whatever way, like you just mentioned Donkey Kong's grab in Smash 4, and I'm like,
yeah,
when does the line of like,
yeah,
when does the line, like, because it's blurred. Like, at some point, there's characters like in Ultimate, like Snake and Game Watch and Rob, who are probably actually playing Ultimate to its, like, cap, like its max, you know? And then there are characters like Roy, who's trying, and sometimes they get there, you know, they hit you with a little jab side B at 50 near ledge, and you explode, mm-hmm. you're like, what the heck is going on? They down tilt you, you tech, they read it, they down tilt you again, you tech, and then, hey, hey, see ya. But, like, when does it get to the point where these characters are just, yeah, they're just gimmicks? Because I wouldn't call Roy a gimmick, you know what I mean?
I think it's funny to, like, say the opposite of what the usual community says. Like, they're like, all complaining about Steve. You're like, that's Ultimate. And then they start.
It is.
They start talking about how much they like Joker or, like, Roy, and you're just like, gimmicks.
Just mere gimmicks.
Like, you know how upset you would make your local scene? Because, like, there's been, you know, there's, like, set opinions, you know? Like, everyone has, like, you know. Like, imagine if, like, you're all, like, you're with your friends watching Zack Race Pit, and they're all hyped, and you're like, this gimmick cheeser. Like, and then you see Steve, and you're just like, yes! Real
Ultimate! Now that's, I'm still not now that's
cheering.
Ultimate.
That's it, that is Ultimate, but I'm not cheering. And, I just think about games, like, I watch, like, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 or, like, anything like that. Like, you're not sitting there locking in some trash characters. In MVC 2, you locking in Magneto, Storm, Sentinel, Psylocke. Like, there's a very few characters that can play Marvel vs. Capcom 2. So that's what you lock in. And it's like, there are a few characters in Alt that can play Alt. And that's what you kind of lock in.
Back to comparing this to my Yu-Gi-Oh! Journey.
Ooh.
You know what's funny okay. is, like, I started out just playing my favorite stuff. It wasn't very good. And I lost. And I was immediately like, what am I doing? I'm putting in all this effort, sleeving my cards up, just to lose to, like, one interaction. And then I started playing good stuff. And then I started playing the best stuff. And now I'm just like, why would you play anything else, bro? Don't, like, you like, when you're playing the rogue stuff, you're like, oh, this is so lame. There's only one good deck. Now I like it when there's, like, one or two good options. Like, let's cut to the chase.
You get to play the game. You start to experience what it really is.
Like, yeah, let's cut to the chase. Like, play good shit. Stop wasting my time. Like, same thing with Street Fighter, bro. When I first started playing Street Fighter, I hate Guile. Now that I, like, you get some knowledge, you're like, yo, Guile is the truth.
No, I mean, he is the truth, but no.
I still hate fighting it, but, like, it's Street Fighter.
Yeah.
But you hate it more when you don't truly know what it is. But once you learn the essence of, like, the hobby you're doing, like, you start to realize, like, why, like, top players feel the way they do about certain things, and, like, you start to connect some dots, and, like, it's like, oh, now I know why the Meta Knight players are like, why don't we just all play Meta Knight? It's like, I kind of just get it now. I'm down. Let's do it.
That one was fun.
Let's play the game. Like, you don't want to be in a brawl tournament, 10 people, 9 Meta Knights, and a Luigi. Like, you're wasting the Meta Knight's time. You're wasting your time, and you could just select Meta Knight and have fun. Like, they think they're so, like, above, like, morally above, like, the best option, but they don't realize, like, it's more fun.
It is.
It's just more fun.
It is. And don't nobody lock in on Pokemon. They're like, I'm going to try to get enough points to enter worlds. Let's play these not fully evolved Pokemon. Like, for what, man? Like, lock in. Pick something that's good.
I was going to make some comparisons, but my, like, my Pokemon knowledge is outdated. I was going to say Pigzashian, but that's outdated.
That's outdated.
Zacian was crazy, bro.
Actually, one of the most broken Pokemon ever.
Yeah, everyone playing Incineroar, right? That's still...
Yeah, of course. Incineroar is never going to go away.
The cat.
The cat.
They would have to, like, Giga Nerf Incineroar. I don't even know how. They would have to like passively nerf him over time.
Yeah.
Like, introducing clear amulet and stuff like that, but it don't matter, bro.
Giving him new moves, bro. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah,
parting shot is out of control. Bro, anyway, my bad.
That is crazy. I remember when this happened. Yes.
Buffed that character or Pokemon.
But yeah, obviously take this with a grain of salt because I don't even play like Steve or Sonic myself.
I think you're close.
You're not there.
I mean, my character went up on the tier list. So.
Oh, snap.
I'm playing a top 8 character, so I'm like somewhere in the middle, I guess. But
I just think as someone who played a low, like a giga low tier, and like started playing an actual character, and then got to like understand that there's more options than the one or two options that your low tier. You also understand that, Gavin. Like,
absolutely,
you played a character, you had like two options in any situation, you're 50-50 in it, and then you start to play the game and you're like, wait, I have this many options, this and they can do this and I could do this, and wait a
second, I'm gonna make some combo videos.
You start to really delve into the game. But before that, when you're playing something that's not that great,
I'm playing my character, I wasn't playing the game.
Yeah, exactly. You're just playing, you're like,
I didn't have a choice. So it's just funny. I look back to like my dad like driving me an hour to like a tournament, and I'm playing Bowser Jr. and I'm like so upset about my loss. And he's like, "What are you doing?" Like, he doesn't know anything about Smash, but he's like, "Why are you still mad?" He was like, "If you keep showing up and doing the same thing, like, what do you expect?" And I'm just like, "Shit, I'm wasting his time like every weekend." He's like driving 2 hours.
He's like, "You better pick up a goddamn top tier."
And I always say these things with like, keep in mind, this is for people who want to be like be the best. You know what I mean? Like, if you're just sitting there and you want to have some fun and you want to play Robin or whoever, like, got top 8 recently at that Japanese tournament. Was strange.
Sometimes that character looked nice.
But if you just want to play your favorite character or whatever, like, go to locals, have some fun, or maybe not even compete. Like, sure, go for it. But if you're sitting here, I want to be the best, but then you're not picking the tools to allow you to be the best, like, you can't just sit there and complain. Like, I don't get it.
I was talking with a friend at Genesis, and I made this comparison of, like, I was explaining, like, my process of eventually, like, playing, like, really good Yu-Gi-Oh! Decks, and I was like, it kind of felt like me showing up to an Ultimate tournament and playing as, like, a 64 character. The game is like updating, and if you don't update with the game, then you just have access to, you mechanically have less stuff. And like, it's the same thing with a card game. Like, the game updates with a purpose for you to update with it, so you can play the concepts that they're creating. And with Ultimate, it can be the same thing of like you can play, you don't have to play like Steve or something, but you have to play in a way where you're open-minded to the meta as it's evolving and you're trying to keep up with it. Because, bro, if you, I don't know, if you try to shield Steve's up tilt every time, you're just going to lose, bro. You got to do something. Like,
got to fight back.
You got to fight back, bro. I don't like that. That's just like a comparison I made of like, I'm not trying to show up to an Ultimate tournament with Hurt and Spargo and Aquila and play as 64 Link. I need something good.
Yeah, dude. 64 Fox, man. Fox needs more stuff. Outdated character.
That's the thing. That is the different thing about Smash. Sometimes the fact that the moveset's outdated can like make them better or worse.
Make them timeless. Like, they're either dog shit or timeless.
Like, Fox's moves just being a bunch of fast kicks is like, That's perfect.
Yeah. Checks out. All right.
And then Kirby just being like outdated and like, it's also a lot of fast kicks, but the character isn't fast. So it's like almost there.
And then no Diddy EX Kong teleporting having, for Kirby.
Diddy Kong also is just a bunch of fast kicks. Great. Mario just has a bunch of fast kicks.
Hold on. A lot of people kick fast in this game. Hold up.
That's all you need.
Wait a minute.
You either need to play a character with fast kicks or a character that has some idea that they are creating with ultimate, like putting terrain down. Like
bringing like explosives onto the map.
Technically, Snake is just a character with a bunch of fast kicks. But he doesn't have to play the game mechanically either. So like that's like next level. But technically he's
got
just
fast kick and grenades.
Yeah. He's just kicking fast. Like Diddy Kong is just fast kicks with a banana. Like that's what it is. Like Link.
Easy summary.
That's not gonna cut it, bro. That bow and arrow. That bow and arrow was cheeky in the 90s. But that bow and arrow better shoot some grenades next game. or you're not playing with us.
Wait, at 0% though, you can forward smash and send a projectile forward.
See, like that those gimmicks, like remember when Shulk had all those gimmicks in Smash 4? Nah, pick Marth. Pick Cloud. Pick Corrin. See, Corrin is a character that just swings her sword, and then the other stuff is like beneficial tricks. Shulk was like based around the tricks, and then the moves were slow. Yeah. Nope, that's not going to cut it, bro.
Shulk's still that way.
Yep. A little bit.
Like, speed art. There. Fast.
I've been saying that for years, bro. Just pick a cheater character.
Just kick fast or cheat. Or there's some that do both, which is crazy. That's crazy.
Are you guys excited for Pokemon Day?
Yes.
What?
But I don't think I'll be able to watch. I think I'm gonna be traveling. So
27th?
Yeah.
Oh, is that Thursday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
We're gonna see
Megas.
Mega Flygon, or some. We're gonna see the starters for the Legends game.
I hope so, but not
Mega Smash Bros. Game.
We're gonna see like some cool spinoff that's gonna be something we can play for a week. The Discord's gonna be lit. I'm excited.
No more Mega Dragons, man. I'm good.
We're getting a third Megazord, and you know,
bro,
it.
Please,
damn you too,
Megazord.
Unless it's Mega Dragapult, in which case I'll lock in.
I'd lock in.
That joint would have.
That's going to be a little too fast.
210 base speed.
Dragon darts, but it hits 3 times.
Oh my God. It's just Dragapult with more Dreepies.
Yes. Spamming.
That's Mega Dragapult. Oh, actually, no, it has to have spikes. Dragapult.
Maybe Dragonite or Flygon. Yo, what if we had like Milotic?
I'd be down for Mega Milotic. That sounds cool.
Hold up.
I'm back.
We're getting a third Zard or a third Mewtwo or both. Oh, that would be so... We're going to get Zygarde, of course. Mega Zygarde, yeah. I think. I don't know. I'm just going to see how the competitive players react. I'm just looking at it to see if it looks cool, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
My shiny luck. Shiny hunting luck has been very good lately. Fun fact.
Oh, shiny look, stonks up.
Look, I've been getting shinies in like 50 eggs. It's been ridiculous.
I'm sorry to say, this is very important. The Lakers versus the Mavs game started.
All right. We're going to get into the Patreon bonus content. Once again, Charles mentioned it. If you want to become a YouTube member, From now on, I'm going to be uploading everything we do on the Patreon to YouTube. I might even backtrack a bit. I've already done that a little bit. If you guys are interested in looking at any of that, but patreon.com/tweaktalks if you're interested. My YouTube is also just TweakSSB. I've also been doing a lot of Metafy lessons. I don't know what's up with that. There's been like an influx lately. So I've been very busy with Metafy lessons. But if anyone's interested in coaching, I do have a Metafy. The link might be on YouTube. If not, check out my Twitter. I think it's just, it might just be like a Metafy thing and just, it might just be Tweak.
I'll look at your Twitter right now.
But I did
it
change
metafy.gg/@tweak.
Yeah. I did change the prices a little bit. Maybe that's why there's an influx. Not entirely sure, but I've been very busy. I've been streaming a lot less because of these lessons. But I hope everyone has a good one, and we'll see you in the bonus content.